From theunce.com, this is the Unce Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunce.com. Hello and welcome to the Unce Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. For the past decade, Evan Mark Bartholomew has been crafting downtempo, psychedelic, and ambient soundscapes that have touched our hearts and tickled our senses. There have been a half a dozen Blue Tech albums and even more EPs released, and next month we get to enjoy Volume 1 in the Space Hop Chronicles. I talk with Bartholomew about his new crowdsourcing model for studio work, the importance of vinyl, his deep connection with the environment, and his forthcoming road dates. Blue Tech embarks on his Space Hop Chronicles tour, sponsored by TheUnce.com, the day after the album drops on February 4th. He'll hit Colorado, California, the Pacific Northwest, and Texas, and he'll be making a very special appearance at Gem & Jam Festival in Tucson, Arizona on February 8th. We'll get to Blue Tech in a second, but first I'd like to remind folks that at tickets.theunce.com you can find passes for Five Elements Festival in San Diego coming up in April. We've got Terra Vita and Robotic Pirate Monkey fan club tickets for Champaign, Illinois and Pontiac, Michigan on February 4th and 5th, and very soon we'll have Infrasound Festival passes. All right, let's get to the interview. At the time of this record, we're about 12 hours to go on your Space Hop Chronicles Volume 1 Kickstarter, which has been a smashing success so far. Fans have helped you meet a number of your goals and far exceeded what it is that you've been trying to do with this project. I gotta imagine the fan outpouring is just amazing for you and really helpful in shaping this new path you're on.
It's honestly totally overwhelming in a really beautiful way. You know, the industry has changed so much over the last few years. Definitely the easy availability of free music has changed people's music consumption habits. I realize that's just par for the course at this point, but with this Kickstarter, I really wanted to give people the opportunity to not only support the music, but be involved and feel some ownership over the creation of projects and supporting the continuation of art. And the response has just been so much more than I expected. It really, really has restored my faith in the fact that people do support art. They do want to see new music happen. And all it takes is reaching out and having that personal connection with fans, and they will step up. They will help to realize a project and dream it into being.
Shortly after your last album was released, Basement Dubs, you made a post on Facebook that went viral. Tons of artists shared it. It talked about, you know, the difference in the number of people who had downloaded the album versus who had actually supported it financially. Is that the sort of catalyst for why you embarked on this Kickstarter project, that you felt like this new model was really the way to get those people who are your fans to support your music, to be able to support you directly and to really help you along in your process as an artist?
It was really eye-opening, actually. You know, there was a lot of positive response to that post and also a lot of negative response. I got personal messages from people that just basically told me that I needed to stop whining and get over being supported for my art and get a day job, which, you know, was a little bit shocking that people truly believed that, you know, the thing I've spent my whole life learning to do had no value. Mm-hmm. But in general, the response was positive. And the Kickstarter was a kind of a, you know, a test run. Like, what if I give people the opportunity to come in at the ground level and let the fans act as a record label to help realize a project, knowing that giving people some ownership of the project and, you know, letting them be involved in the actual process of making it happen might be more inspiring for them than just, you know, here's a press release, here's a new album, please buy it.
Exactly. I gotta imagine, in addition to the great financial support that you've received from your fans, the emotional support is just as tangible, is just as real. Here we are at this recording time, just a week away from the passing of your father, which is an immeasurable tragedy. But at the same time, I got to imagine the fan support, the outpouring of well wishes and condolences that has to help buffer that pain a little bit.
It does. You know, really at the end of the day, what is music about? What is being a musician about? It's about trying to connect with people and share the thing that you uniquely have to share, and actually getting some feedback and response. And I've come to a place where that's not just the music for me. It's sharing my life, my story, the things that matter to me, the things that I think should matter to us all. And I've just decided to be real, to be present in this blue tech machine or personality, I guess, that has been created. And instead of, you know, playing a part or a role as Blue Tech, the producer, I really have decided to step into that with my warts and all as a human being, and be clear and honest about what's going on for me as a human being, realizing that by being a public figure and being emotionally available and honest, it gives people the freedom to have their own feelings and express them.
That makes sense. That absolutely makes sense.
Yeah.
In part of being honest and open, connecting with fans, you've offered so many rewards as part of the Kickstarter program that will put you right in front of the fans. If it's meet and greets, if it's personalized notes, if it's just signing a CD or that new vinyl that's coming out, there really is that deep personal connection. And do you think that's why so many of your fans are responding so well to this new model?
I mean, I think it's, whether it's a new paradigm for everybody, it's definitely the new paradigm for me. You know, what's exciting to me is not the big stages and the lights and the flying around. It's the hug, the personal story, the, oh my God, your music helped me through this experience. Or, you know, I've had people tell me they birthed their first child listening to my music.
Wow.
That's what keeps me going. That's what, when I go into the studio, I don't think about, like, oh, you know, is this track going to be the biggest bomb drop of all time and rock the dance floor? It's how do I be completely intimate and express these things that I'm feeling to give people a connection to something bigger than themselves? So if music is going to survive in a new industry and a new paradigm, I think that it has to reflect that. It has to reflect the actual experience that people have of music, you know? Music becomes the soundtrack to their lives, and I can't just sit behind my little studio wall and, you know, put something out and not be willing to own it and step up and talk about why I created this thing and what it means for me. And for me, connecting with the fans is the most important part. So the Kickstarter rewards are set up to connect in a deeper way, to illustrate someone's dreams, to actually connect that loop and make that feedback, that resonance even stronger, so that when people are experiencing the music, they know that not only did they help support it financially, but the music is actually written in a response to them and their story and what they're going through and what we're going through as a community.
And can we imagine in 15, 20 years, we'll see a number of little Evan Marks running around at your shows, people that were birthed?
I hope so.
Thank you. Laika from Space Hop Chronicles Volume 1, followed by the Callia Scintilla remix of Blue Tech's 667. Both Blue Tech and Callia Scintilla will be at Gem and Jam Festival in Tucson, Arizona this February.
How important was the vinyl aspect to you? I know that the big goal for you in this project was to not only reach that point where you were able to print up the CDs, but more importantly, the vinyl had a lot of meaning to you. Can you unpack that a little for me?
Super important, actually. There was one, and I don't remember the company. There was a turntable controller thing that came out a couple years ago that had, they did a very limited run of two tracks of mine on vinyl. But other than that, there has never been an official Blue Tech release available on vinyl. To me, it's great that we have instantly accessible MP3s, but the sound quality of an MP3, let's be honest, is a postage stamp compared to what I hear when I'm in the studio. Being able to present this music, which has a lot of analog recording process in it, in an analog way, full frequency, full depth, very, very important.
Okay. And do you think that having a tangible album, having that big, thick LP in your hand, is somehow hearkening back to when you yourself were digging through crates or maybe going through your folks' records? I mean, is there also an emotional connection besides the audio file in you?
I think absolutely. And a lot of that actually springs from my deep love and fascination of the visual arts. And, you know, I've got some other projects curating art right now, but I'm also a designer and an artist, and like, physically being able to hold something and look at this art and peer into it and having that trophy's not the word, I guess memento, an actual physical piece, I think is something that we lost a little bit, but the surge in vinyl sales over the last few years shows that people actually want that physical, tangible connection again.
And the artwork for the album is gorgeous. Orlando Arseno created that for you. Did you give him any direction? Was he listening to past Blue Tech work? Did you give him previews of the album? What's that process like between artist and artist in creating that album artwork for you?
So the Space Hop Chronicles is not just going to be a series of music releases. It's very much a story that I want to tell, and I'll talk a little bit about what's coming for the future of the project. But just to start off, this first volume definitely is about Laika, the cosmonaut, the Russian space dog, you know, who was sent into space. And as I was making this music, I was thinking about classic kind of communist era space posters, you know, 70s sci-fi cover art. And instantly, sure, I was like, Orlando's the guy to do this. His style is vector. It's super modern, but has this kind of vintage retro sci-fi thing going on. And I knew absolutely that he was the guy that was supposed to do this particular cover. So I contacted him, told him about the project, sent him the music. He was instantly on board, put off his corporate projects for the week, and actually dove in completely and busted out this amazing design for me. And we are definitely going to be collaborating. We've got another big project we're working on. So it's been definitely a dialogue.
I see that communist propaganda art in there. I see it absolutely. And that sort of bridge between modern and vintage is absolutely on the surface right there. You can see it clearly. So that's really cool that you're tying it in. Do we get further adventures of Laika the space dog, or is it an evolving story throughout the rest of the Chronicles? If you've even imagined that,
it is an evolving story. Actually, I, with this additional financial boost of the Kickstarter campaign, I've hired a good friend who is an exceptional writer, who is writing this story from the perspective of Laika. And we're creating an alternate history where instead of Laika dying in space, Laika actually begins to travel and move to other dimensions and explore different realms of consciousness out in the ethers. So there is actually going to be a written component of the Space Hop Chronicles. And my ultimate goal at the end of the Chronicles is to produce a graphic novel that contains this story, working with, I'm not sure yet if it's going to be one artist or multiple artists taking a panel, but the end of the Space Hop Chronicles will be some type of box set graphic novel that contains this story.
Hanuman from 2010's Love Songs to the Source, followed by Fold and Arrive from Space Hop Chronicles Volume 1, out February 4th. Let's pull back a little bit, because I want to kind of explore where you are physically as a piece of the story, to where you are mentally and artistically. And with the release of Basement Dubs last fall, your goal was to create a solar-powered studio for yourself. Have you been able to move forward that project, or have you been sort of pulled in different directions by not only creating this latest album, but also touring and everything that comes with that?
I definitely did not meet my timeline or financial goal for the solar project. However, it's in development. There's a structure built. Some finishing work to do. The sheetrock needs to go on. Floors need to go in. But the Basement Dumps funds definitely all went into creating this project. But anybody who's ever built knows that it takes three times as long and three times as much money as you thought it was going to take. So it's going. It's moving along. It's definitely happening.
Okay. And you know, this solar-powered studio is absolutely in line with everything you sort of built your artistic aesthetic around. Critical Beats, your project to reforest the Amazon, is another sort of aspect to the Blue Tech brand, essentially, in that you are very conscious about the environment as well as social justice. What do you think it was that set you on this path to marry your love for music with your deep, deep passion for social and environmental justice? Where is this coming from?
Really, it's just waking up, you know, taking a good look around and seeing that we're on this crazy earth ship that is in trouble. And it comes from hearing people's personal stories and what's going on for them, seeing firsthand the degradation of critical habitat in the Amazon and many other places, North America included, living in Hawaii, which has, you know, they call Hawaii the endangered species capital of the world. We have more endangered species per square mile than anywhere else, and that's where I live and used to call home. For me, as I began to wake up, you know, the expansion of consciousness, which seems to be such a prime vital component of this electronic music culture, for me isn't just about my own personal experience or mystical expansion. That expansion of consciousness for me showed me that everything around me was full of life and had a spark of divinity in it. And the habits of humans and the way that we progress are damaging the web of life and causing things to no longer exist that should exist. So it really comes from this, you know, I hate to get too new agey, but like a deeply mystical falling in love with life and the whole process of creation and, you know, a seed as it unfolds, just being deeply fascinated, literally falling in love. And, you know, my lover is the universe, and seeing that all of it is beautiful, all of it is sacred, all of it is holy. And so my only response as a human that comes to this awareness is, oh my God, how do I make my life about continuing life so that when I'm gone, my grandchildren's grandchildren's grandchildren still have these beautiful trees, still have places that are wild and untouched, still have these birds and these insects and these animals. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what else to say about that. It is a constant awareness that the thing that I love is in danger because of the way that our species operates on the planet. And I don't have a choice. It's not an option for me whether or not I'm going to respond in a responsible and ecological manner. It's a constant realization of the fact that the way I walk on this planet, the way that all of us walk on this planet, is damaging not only people, but all of the other living beings around us. And I'm in a constant search and questioning of how to be more effective in sustaining life for future generations.
And I imagine few of us need an excuse to move to Hawaii, but as a touring musician, I gotta imagine there was something else that was pulling you towards Hawaii, because, you know, it's difficult to get out there and to tour around using Hawaii as a home base. What was it that really pulled you there? Is it that it was such a haven for endangered plants and animals and insects?
I mean, the thing that a lot of people don't know, and this is a story that I don't know why I've never actually talked about too much, Hawaii has always been the space for me. Before I started my music career, I went to Hawaii and I was very young. I you know, bought a one-way ticket and packed a backpack just to go travel. And I had what can only be described as a mystical experience in a valley on the Big Island of Hawaii on a full moon, where I became aware of the consciousness of nature in a truly profound way. Like, I had a conversation with the spirit of this land, with the island, and it spoke in the voices of the wind through the trees, the waves on the shore, like the birds, all of it kind of came together. And I realized that I was not alone, no matter where I was on the planet, that the planet itself was conscious and responding to me. And at that point, the message that I got was that I actually had to leave Hawaii and start a career in music and figure out how to tell the story, how to help people wake up to the vibrancy and the sacredness of life that's around us. So Hawaii was my holy grail, my chalice, that was the goal I was working toward through the first, well, it was probably 7 years of Blue Tech and touring before I had the ability to move back to Hawaii, and people wanted to book me enough that we could work it out, that I would be able to fly from Hawaii. So Hawaii is actually the beginning of the Blue Tech story. So I coming back to Hawaii, building a house, getting the studio set up, all of this is actually the long play, the dream that I've been working on for a very, very long time now.
You know, according to mythology, Pele, the Hawaiian goddess of fire, she calls you to Hawaii if you do belong there. I imagine that that full moon experience was her calling to you.
For sure. I mean, I call myself a pragmatic mystic. I tend to not be too woo-woo juju about things. I'm like, you know, show me the science. That's great that you feel that way, but show me the science. But I truly had an encounter with the living spirits of the wild in Hawaii, and I knew that I was home in a really, really deep way. That at that point, I'd just kind of been traveling around, and I had never understood what it meant to be in a place and belong there. And you know, for me in Hawaii, I can put on a backpack and just go. And no matter where I am, I know that there's water. I know that I can find food. I know that I can fish. There's a safety on the soul level for me. Like the animal part of what I am as a human,
sure,
belongs there and is integrated into that space.
That's perfect. You couldn't ask for more. You do have to leave your home, unfortunately. It's part of being a touring musician. But February 5th, the day after Space Hop drops, you'll be setting off for Colorado, and then you hit California and the Southwest and the Northwest and Texas. What is it that fans can expect from this incarnation of Blue Tech? Are you going to be pulling heavily from the Space Hop chronology, or is this, you know, see everything that Blue Tech is about, the highs, the lows, the emotional peaks and valleys? What are fans going to get out of this new Blue Tech show?
Space Hop will be in there. There's an album I've been working on for Aleph Zero for a while now called Illuminated Spectrums, which is a little slower tempo. Some of these tracks have been heard as I've been on the road over the last year. My goal over the next few weeks is to get kind of the next round of Space Hop done, so people get a teaser, a live teaser, before the next volume drops later in the year. Yeah, I don't know. I've got enough catalog now, you know, 10 years of releases. I definitely am going to craft a journey. The Space Hop material in particular is very, very ecstatic. Full spectrum, multiple layers of harmonies, you know, hopefully from the base of the belly all the way to the top of the head, kind of interactive music. So there'll definitely be a peak of the Space Hop blast off into unknown realms in the live set.
That's perfect. That's perfect. We're excited for the release of the album. We're excited for the tour. Many of these stops will include meet and greet opportunities. The fans want it. The fans know it, and it's coming to you. And hopefully you'll be able to catch Evan on his big tour here coming up in February. Evan, Mark, Blue Tech, thank you so much for being on the UNS podcast.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Light Years From Home, a sneak preview of the brand new Blue Tech album, Space Hop Chronicles Volume 1, coming out digitally on CD and, thanks to you, the fans, on vinyl February 4th. Special thanks go to Amy Heinrich with Tsunami Publicity, Chelsea Linder with Killer Robots Management, and of course, my guest, Evan Mark Bartholomew. Space Hop Chronicles Tour, presented by TheUns.com, kicks off February 5th. Visit TheUns.com for tour dates and ticket information. Checking in on our contest page, hopefully you're listening to this podcast on its release date because you've still got 48 hours to win yourself a festival pass to Envision down in Costa Rica next month. We're going to have two winners for that contest. You've got until midnight tonight, though, to win yourself a festival pass to Gem and Jam down in Tucson, Arizona. Who's going to be there? Alex and Allison Gray, Mimosa, Boombox, Desert Dwellers, Love and Light, Callie Scintilla, and oh yes, Blue Tech. Please visit TheUns.com for news, artist profiles, tour dates, and tickets to some of the biggest shows across the electronic music spectrum. And go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Write us a review, tell us what you think of the show. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints about the program, you'd like to be a guest on The Uns podcast, or you'd like to sponsor an episode, contact me at anand@theuns.com. That's A-N-A-N-D at theuns.com. Join the conversation at The Uns podcast on Twitter.